Good evening and welcome to episode 2 of season I don't even know of the Clubhouse. It is us once again. It is your host, the man with no name. I shall remain a secret forever and ever. You will never find out my name. Those who do know my name, shut your mouths, Ixe. I know where you live. Joined as always by the sweetest Joe, I was gonna say something that was just gonna put that was not gonna sound good. Joined by the main man, the man they call Hoochie. Oh my gosh, that was even gonna be worse. Hey, I just can't. Joined by HB. Okay, HB, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey man, I'm good. How goes?
Good, my man. All good. And then also joining us, the James May, the mainest man, Mr. Load Shedding himself. Yes. G to the R, to the A, to the G, to the O. Can you get a shorter nickname? Dragon, that's the main man. What's up, buddy? How are you doing? How goes the load shedding, Ixe? How's it going?
It's tough. It's dark out here. It's dark out here.
Do you have plenty of candles on it? I actually shouldn't be laughing because quite risky. Things can be tense. It's quite risky. So I empathize. I feel your pain. Yeah, man. My one. So how's the week been, guys? How's everything going? We all good?
I'm just bloody excited.
Oh, mate.
I can barely wait, dude. I cannot wait for Friday. The next, it's a month long?
Month and a half.
Weekend.
Let's just hope that HB puts these episodes up before the end of the World Cup. The way this dude is tracking, we might be done in retrospect. We might have to do some magical editing, magical editing. Again, I don't know why this theme always comes up, but this is he's the tech guy, but technically,
there are some difficulties. Before, yes, we could blame the situation of the location, but now, hey, it's getting hard to defend, man.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, man, I can't make excuses for you. All I can say is get it done. But anyway, as we say, it is three more sleeps, and then it's time. And then it is time. I am so excited. I'm sure everybody is so excited at this point that Friday night is shaping up to be an absolute humdinger. I cannot wait. The World Cup is right on our doorstep. I have gotten I've done all my campaigning. I've done all, gotten all my extra credit. I'm ready to roll. That remote is mine. It is mine for the next 2 months. HB, talk us through your emotions succinctly, please. And can anger not be one of them, please? When we're talking about the weekend and stuff, like, how are you feeling about it, man? How's the anticipation?
The anticipation is at an all-time high. I mean, it has been a long time coming. We have seen so many teams developing. It is going to be an exciting campaign for so many teams. So much to prove, so much to look forward to. I mean, it has been such a roller coaster. We've seen teams develop, players grow, people be injured and do some voodoo that they do and be back just in time. It's going to fill the papers, man.
Naholo's doctor. Apparently, everyone's Naholo's doctor. Sorry,
Naholo's doctor got the silver approval from everyone because clearly guys are just coming out of the woodwork. Ningi was injured, his back. And, you know, I think this is going to be a World Cup where we see for the first time, maybe the Northern Hemisphere might even get it this year. Might.
Not a chance.
We will talk about that. We will talk about that just in a second. But let's just quickly chat about just the news going around lately. First off, anyone seen this about the French guy? Yeah, the guy who came out in his interview and then broke down in tears. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that, guys?
What did he do? I must have missed it.
This guy was apparently handed out a 6-month suspended sentence for beating people up and being racist.
Yeah, that was last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Toulouse cancelled his contract, and
picked him up.
Yeah, Montpellier picked him up, and apparently, there's some controversy. Apparently, Macron, the French president, actually said it to Gaultier, like, bro, you know, this should not become this cannot become a problem. If there's backlash, don't play this dude. And Gaultier was like, if he has to cry, he'll do what he has to do. But I mean, apparently the court case is still pending. You know how it is. We'll never get the real details, you know, until they're actually out. But as always, there's always the jousting on social media. And one thing I'm realizing now is there's a lot of toxicity that happens in the social media, especially when it comes to, especially in our sport. And it's something that we need to actually kick out of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, our supporters, we just need to be better, man. I mean, now there's people talking about, it's complicated.
I think to be fair, you know, we did discuss it when we spoke about Matera, when that whole thing came up.
Yeah, but that was unequivocal. Come on.
Matera was at least still young, if we can say that. And there was a couple of years between this. The fact this is still quite fresh, I think, doesn't really help the situation. I mean, we're talking about a year or so. It's not really a lot of time for people to feel like you've learned your lesson and you've changed your ways. You know, that's the thing. But again, innocent until proven guilty. So we've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. If the court case is still going on, yeah, we can't say much then. That's just my opinion.
Oof. Yeah, I guess we can't say much. We have to reserve judgment. It's an interesting bit of that's come into the camp right now. So yeah, it's tricky. HB, please give us your colorful thoughts on this, because I can just tell there's going to be some rage coming out of you right now.
I think rugby needs to hold its ambassadors. And all that means all the players and all the people involved in rugby to a higher standard. You can't expect a sport to grow and to be accepted and to be loved by people if you're going to let representative of that sport slide. A good example of a situation where both people have been held accountable is New Zealand. Mr. Smith and South Africa, Mr. Yanchis. People were held accountable because at the end of it all, those people are answerable to the flag and to the people of that nation. And when you represent people of your nation, you represent all the people in your nation, not just a select few by race. Mm. What are you saying to the other group of people who were offended by that? And mind you, my use of the word offended here is, this person said something about something that is factually true. Like, he said this race did this or that race is like that. I'm not referring to other things that are currently going on in society. I'm referring to a race aspect.
Mm-hmm. Now, who said stuff that was factually true?
No one said stuff that is factually true, but I'm saying that the player was referring to facts. Not referring to imagination, if you're following my drift. I'm saying that the player is making comments that are offensive about factual things. He's not making offensive comments about non-factual things. I'm not going to go deeper into that because there's an alphabet behind me. Let me continue. So
Gabby came with this controversy right in the beginning, didn't he?
Well, I'm pretty lost. So anyway,
what I'm saying is we need to hold people accountable for their actions. No, people need to know that they need to be better. They need to do better.
Yeah.
So, to me, the gentleman needs to take a seat and rethink his actions and what he's doing, and we might see him next time.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think just even the mere suspicion of something like that, you know, is, yeah, let things play out. Let things play themselves out. And then, you know, if he's found innocent or whatever, then Mans can come back and play. I just think it creates too much instability. And I wonder what the take, because remember, right, I can imagine that entire squad. And when you think about it, right, isn't this, you've got how many of these French legends? Let's just think about this, right? How many of them are people of color? You've got Doucetois, you've got Serge Blanco, you've got Emile Intermac, you've got Serge Betson. You know, you've got, there's so many of these French legends right now. And then even if you look in that actual squad, you've got Cameron Wauke, you've got Makalu, you've got Demba Bamba, you even got the Polynesian fellas as well, you know, Moefana, you've got Gael Fiku. There's a risk of some serious and some real instability being brought into the squad, unnecessarily. You know, I get it. He's a big dude. He's an absolute lump. And he's a tailor-made replacement for Willemse. But at the same time, you've also got to look at squad chemistry and all of that. Far be it for me to tell Fabien Gaultier how to do his job, but I just think the risk far outweighs the reward here. And I think the potential detrimental effect far outweighs any positivity that could be brought in, especially while this issue is ongoing. And I know he's got plenty of support and people are saying, no, let it play itself out on court and so on and so forth. But at this juncture, I mean, you know, look, you kicked Mohamed Ouass out of the French squad. He did hit his wife, though. So he must have, he deserved that. He deserved that. I mean, he belted her for smoking. I can't believe that. But, you know, if you've got to have, I know there's the letter of the law and the spirit. I think in this case, you know, you just need to take a hard stance on it. Yes, I know he is human and he does make mistakes. If he did it, if he didn't do it, let it play itself out. But it should play itself out away from the team environment, because this is now overshadowed in France. What should be an absolute celebration and what is the biggest, a big week for this team. But as an all-black fan, yes, please, all the controversy continue. Throw it at each other. Yeah, chuck it at each other.
When you also take into account how much team chemistry plays a large part in any rugby team, how the players gel and play for one another, it's going to be a problem for these guys.
Yeah, there's a potential problem there. There's a huge potential pitfall. And you know, we, again, as a sport, we love to put our sport on a pedestal and say, yes, we've got these values and so on and so forth. I think maybe let's stick to that a little bit. Let's just, you know, let's stick to it a little bit. And if he reforms, give him the time to reform or whatever. If he's found guilty, if he's not found guilty, by all means, welcome him with open arms. I mean, if the president, surely if the French president is commenting on this, I would have just said, if I was Gaultier, I said, hey, listen, can you push this through the courts so they come up with a decision so we can get this done, so at least the guy can play at some point in this World Cup? You know what I mean? I would have just said that. Let's push it through. Let's just come up with the verdict. Guilty, not guilty. If he's guilty, fair enough. If he's not guilty, great, let him play. But for this to now almost be with the suspended sentence and there's no actual final verdict, you know what I mean? It's no man's land. And I can only imagine the damage it's done to him, to not only the mindset of the players around him, but to his mindset. I mean, now you're crying in a press conference. having to tell the world that you're not a racist, you know, it's difficult, man. And that's why it's different from the Matera thing. I'm not saying Matera is a racist at all, but the Matera thing was cut and dry. Dude, you tweeted this nonsense. You knew. You tweeted this nonsense. You can say he was 18 all the live long day. Bro, if you run someone over when you're 18 and you kill them, it's still manslaughter. Do you know what I mean? It's still a crime. It's still criminal. We don't then say, no, but he was only just 18. So, yeah, you know, come on. With the Matera thing, the guy didn't get the punishment that he should have gotten. We all know that. We all know. No, he should have gotten the punishment, but he didn't. All there was a scandal, and then his teammates rallied around him. Like, man, yeah. Anyway, that issue notwithstanding, let's move on. Let's not let this become a political show. Let's talk about what we should talk about. But I think for France, you know, France have got some injuries, man. France have got some injuries.
Well, apparently not. That's not the case. So rumor has it Danti will be back for Friday.
Danti will not be back for Friday.
It says he may be back for Friday.
Who said that? L'Equipe?
There was an article about it. They're waiting to see. He may have a late fitness test. But again, some are saying it may be mind games by Galtier going into this first encounter. And again, you know, look, you know, no one knows what to expect. But I thought his injury was far worse than that. I didn't expect him to be back. I didn't expect him to actually play. But then again, same can be said for Tyrell Lomax, who I see gone home and is still part of the squad.
Yeah, 30 stitches in your knee is no joke, bro.
Yeah, but I didn't even think. I know the cut was the issue, was part of the problem, but I thought the way he came off that field, it looked like it was something a whole lot more serious than that, right?
Yeah,
I suppose.
So everyone is holding. I think there's a lot of. I don't know. I wait to see what the squads are going to look like. I'm sure they have to announce them within starting tomorrow and Thursday. We should start seeing these squads coming out. Yeah. But everyone is waiting with bated breath to try and see.
I'm surprised.
What he's is gone. Well, maybe injured as well.
Yeah, I'm surprised the Boks haven't named their team because they're usually quite good at that. They usually name it quite early. So, yeah, I'm surprised. You know,
they only play Sunday, so maybe tomorrow.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
hopefully tomorrow.
A lot of these teams, we discussed this last week when we were talking about how 66-minute All Blacks versus France, if it's not going their way, they'll let it slide. I'm guessing a lot of teams are going to be strategic about who they are putting out, when, to what game, and for what purpose.
Yeah, because, I think... Yeah, I think with that, in the case of New Zealand and France, I think stylistically, France need to win this game more than New Zealand do.
Do they?
Yeah. They do.
I think they do. I think, you know, look, and that depends on if things go to script, like people are saying, and people think Ireland will top the group. You know, I think New Zealand have a better. I think France and South Africa would be a problem. You know, or if South Africa tops the group, yeah, I think France need to top that group because,
That's assuming that Ireland will top their group and New Zealand will have an easier, well, mentally easier quarterfinal against Ireland.
Yeah, I think to be honest with you, people. Let me just start again. I disagree. I actually don't think Ireland will top the group. I think South Africa will top the group, in my opinion. And I think
I have doubts there.
I think South Africa has a better. I mean, New Zealand has a better chance of beating South Africa than France do. France have a better chance of beating Ireland than New Zealand do.
So I think, okay, so maybe, I guess we were going to go through the pools individually, right? There's a whole new thing to this World Cup, I guess. The fact that for the first time ever, you've got a team that won a World Cup after losing their first game. And that was the Box in 2019. So that's brought up a whole new dynamic to this where it's okay to lose. You don't really need to win that first game, particularly when you look at the group that New Zealand and France are in, where it can go either way and you try and salvage whatever you have left going into the knockout stages and hopefully all the way through to the finals. So there is...
Actually, you know what? Let's not even delay. Let's go look at the groups. Let's look at the pools now. I know there's been so many permutations. And I actually want to hear your guys' opinion. Who do you think will top the group and why? So can we look at Pool A?
Pool A, New Zealand, France, Italy, Uruguay, Namibia.
Okay, so I think, HB, you go first. Who do you think will top the pool and why?
So topping the pool here is definitely going to be France, followed by New Zealand. Bringing up the end of the pool, even though I hope it doesn't happen, is going to be Italy. Namibia, I think, have finally gained enough experience and veve to at least not come last.
Hey, hold on. Oh.
Yeah, they definitely have done enough work, I hope, now to beat Italy. Come on, like, guys have been here for the last, what, seven outings? They've been in the World Cup. They can definitely do something now where they can hit Italy. Italy probably might be their first time showing up here or third time, but they can do it. Italy,
I speak for all Italians when I say che cazzo.
Have you seen what Crawley's done with that?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Crawley has worked with that side, and okay, fair enough. They're in a very tough group in the sense that it's highly unlikely that they'll cause an upset. But then again, all you need is one game, right? Mm-hmm. When you look back, I'll go back, I think it's 3 years ago. All Blacks versus Italy. In Italy, end of your tour. Do you realize how hard the All Blacks had to work for that victory?
Yeah, but the Italian attack was their defensive strategy that pulled them in.
Yeah,
listen, guys, clearly now. Gosh.
You're still making my point, by the way, but continue your lines.
You're still okay. Sorry. We'll let you finish your point just now. Italy are arguably the most innovative attacking system at the moment. When you're looking at from where they've come from, and to see what they're playing now, their attacking system is phenomenal. It is bloody good. I mean, they are playing a variation of, like, they are mixing it up big time. They are mixing it up big time. Where they had struggled initially was power in the breakdown and set piece. But, I mean, they've got ball carriers now, man. They've got some serious ball carriers. Obviously, you've got Sebastian Negri. You've got the Cannone brothers. You've got Lamoro. You've got that's in the forward pack. And then if you look at their back line has real X factor, has real X factor. I mean, if you look at Garbisi, who is a phenomenal flyer, phenomenal communicator, decision maker. Sometimes the problem with Italy was that he was thinking faster than everybody else could actually play. And then you've got Capuozzo, who is just like lightning in a bottle. You know, you've got Montioani as well. You've got the glue that holds it all together, Ignacio Bricks. Come on. How can you even? Italy will come a solid third. They'll gain automatic qualification. Uruguay and Namibia is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a dogfight because Uruguay and Namibia have been consistently playing each other. since Namibia qualified for the World Cup. And it's always been a scratchy sort of game where Uruguay just about scraped through. And, well, eventually they just about scraped through. I think Namibia have recruited phenomenally well. And where Namibia get it right is they've got enough guys playing professional rugby now around the world, not only in South Africa, but around the world, you know, playing in the Premiership, playing in the top 14. You know, of course, we all know Major League Rugby is just full of them, full of Namibians at the moment. But they've got a good team. What they needed was cohesion, and they've spent enough time getting cohesion. I see Namibia actually beating Uruguay. Uruguay will come bone. Namibia will come. I'm sorry. Look, sorry to do it to Uruguay, but they will. The future is very bright for Uruguay, though, I have to say. Because the under-20s just qualified for the World Championship, and they really put Scotland to the sword. But I see Namibia and Uruguay coming last in the group. I see Namibia coming fourth, unprecedented, getting their first win at the World Cup. I see Italy coming third. And I see, you know, despite the desperation of France, I just think that, man. I don't see them winning. I don't see them topping that pool. I don't see them topping that pool. If they lose, I don't see them winning on Friday. I really don't.
Okay, hold on. They might not top the pool, but they win all their games.
How is that possible? I'm just trying to understand.
Sorry, my bad. That's bad maths. I think France.
This is why the website is taking so long to get up.
His algorithms were wrong. Whatever he was.
Do you know what it is? I think New Zealand definitely are going to put up a fight, but France at home and with the way things are going as a nation. I think there's a lot of pressure on this team to deliver. And it's going to be emotional. It's going to be very emotional on Friday.
So it is a big occasion. All right. It's huge. It's massive. But I don't think it helps that there's already a history behind this game. A history in the sense that what's the one team that has always, you know, found a way to, you know, throw a span in the works of a New Zealand World Cup campaign? It's France, right? And I think that's just it. Then you've got this, you got today, an article comes out, Olivier Magnier comes out and he's saying, this is the weakest New Zealand side ever. All right.
It's kind of like,
well, no, not really, actually. Look, it hasn't been the most consistent New Zealand side, but to say the weakest, I think, is a bit disrespectful considering what this team has been through and the time that they've played. Remember that these guys also played in during the COVID period, right? And no other coach or no other team has been through that. So when you look back at the results, I'll take you back to, I think it was 2020. New Zealand lost that game. That's when Intermark made that crazy break. Well done to him. It was a brilliant thing. But we also tend to forget that was the longest tour that team had been on ever, or any team had been on. These guys were away from home for, I think, 3 months. So these are all things that we haven't taken into consideration, that this team has not been through the most comfortable period ever. From a results perspective, they have managed to retain, I think, rugby championship. They've won, if I'm correct, three out of the four, actually. All right.
When was the last time they lost the rugby championship?
This is it.
That's my question.
So when we talk about it being the weakest, this is purely based on opinion. Yes, yes, we can say they've lost some, they've broken some shit records, which is absolutely horrible when you look at it from an All Black perspective, but they are not the worst side ever. But if you want to fuel up a New Zealand side, just put, you know, put egg, throw egg on their face and you'll see how they'll react. That's the one thing I'm looking forward to this weekend, or this Friday, right? But then again, like you said, emotion comes into it. First game of the World Cup, France are going to be up for it. But and saying that, I'm wary that this French side has not really, they've not looked flash. You know what I mean? They haven't looked the same side that they looked over the last 2 years or 3 years.
I mean, look, they're still my favorites to win the thing. They're still my favorites to win the thing, but I think with the personnel that are injured, you know, it's New Zealand also have some dings as well. They've also got some guys out, but I think they've already played a game and been through the fire without those dudes, right?
Yeah.
Get what I mean? They've been, it doesn't, honestly, there's nothing, it doesn't get any tougher than the Springboks, right? Without Frizzell, without Retallick, you've got the Barretts just, yeah, being catastrophic. You've got 13 men on the field, 10 minutes. It does not get any worse than that. That pasting that they got, I'm telling you, in terms of mental fortitude, you know, I think that period where they were down to six forwards and they kept the box out, and it took a bloody good piece of play from Sia Kolisi to actually muscle his way over, because he was almost held up again when he scored that try.
And if we
look at that, right, there was Kolisi's try, then there was sort of the intercept from terrible decision making from Barrett. You're almost like, these guys have actually gone through the grinder here. You know, they've gone through the mill here. Whereas France haven't really, in terms of you're missing that many people. I mean, it was okay having Hastoy or Jalibert filling in when you've got Dante outside, right? When you've got Dante there to sort of control. And I honestly don't think it's worth risking Dante to play that first game. As pivotal as it is, as desperate as they will be to win it, I think playing Dante there is not actually looking ahead in the tournament, you know. Because either or, if they end up playing Ireland, you want Dante there. If they end up playing South Africa, you definitely want Dante there. Because that's power, that's your gain line, that's the guy who runs your defense, you know. And so now you're missing Ntamack, you're missing Dante, you're missing Willemse, which is your bulk and absolute bruiser. And there's some liabilities and frailties in terms of the aerial challenge and the positioning in their back three. I mean, Australia exposed. They exposed a couple of frailties there.
Did you say Australia?
Yes.
Yeah.
The score was flattering. The score against Australia ended up very flattering. But they exposed the French badly. And this is why I say, when you look at this side, they look a lot more beatable than they did a year ago or 2 years ago.
I'm tipping the All Blacks to win this group. I'm tipping them to win on Friday night. And it's not going to be a big win. It's going to be a hell of a game. It's just going to be a tight game. But yeah, I mean, France will throw everything at the All Blacks. The All Blacks will absorb, because I'm telling you, imagine looking to the sideline and then you're seeing those seven giants from South Africa running on and you're like, geez, we have to go through this again. And while they did get a pasting, and it was 35-7, I mean, the game was over, but it was over at halftime, essentially, you know. So yeah, I think the All Blacks, they've been through that adversity, which I don't think France have actually been through. What's important is the discipline. I think what will decide the game will be Jaco Pieper.
And how he Jaco back?
Yeah, you know, after being verbally abused, but anyway. He's
emotions.
Back. But, so yeah, Dragon, what do you think? How do you think this pool is going to shape up?
Yeah, so I do think, and I say this, and I'm not confident about it, but I tend to agree with what you said, and I do see it going that way. The same as you, Gav, in this case. So New Zealand will top, and then France will come in second. Third, Italy, Namibia, Uruguay, again, will be a toss-up for me. But yeah, probably, I'll probably go Uruguay in this case. Yeah, that's how I see it. But in the back of my mind, I also do believe that they may be a bit of an upset. And I don't think it will be on the All Black side. If the French become complacent,
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Tell him again. Is going to shock someone. Ooh. And I'm saying, we've seen it in many World Cups. All you need is that one game. It doesn't matter. They don't. They're not going out there to try and win this tournament. They're not going out there for any of that. They just want that one game. They want that one scalp. And in this case, I believe that scalp may just be the French, because I see them becoming complacent. They've had it comfortable all along, so the easy ride has allowed them to, you know, think that, you know, they have great depth, right? But at times you can get big-headed about that depth, and that depth believes that you can see out a game no matter what. And that's where I think that the Italian side could possibly pull off a surprise.
Yeah, well, that's controversial. I'm not going to lie to you. You heard it here first. Okay, so we've got that, right? We've got we've dealt with Pool A. What about Pool B? Who's in Pool B?
South Africa, Ireland, Scotland, Tonga, Romania. Yeah, this one is pretty cut and dry. Really cut and dry here. What I'm keen to see is Ireland. I'm keen to see what's been happening, what they can bring, because they always show up and then run out of steam. And you're like, but guys, you're looking like you're going to do something wonderful again this time. Quarterfinals, bye bye, going home. It won't be a long trip this time at least, but you know.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be all up in this.
Who's going to have who did you say? Sorry,
I said I'm keen to see what Ireland are going to do, because every time they show up to a World Cup, you're like, they're looking incredible, and then they run out of steam, so they tend to fizzle out around the quarterfinal. So this time, I hope they don't do that, because it won't be a long flight. It'll just be a hopscotch and you're home within an hour. You're a crib, so chill. So all need to do some proper graft this time. They need to work.
Hey,
Romania and Tonga down there. Tonga might get a scalp, Ixie. We might be taking someone home. We might get theirs this time. And I'm guessing Romania is going to get scalped. I'm sorry to say that. South Africa, their injuries. South Africa, I worry about injuries and depth.
To who? And what?
Injuries. Let me finish my thing. I worry about injuries in depth. Injuries, especially to see a Kolisi. Morale-wise, if Sia Kolisi takes a fall, and you know, injury starts creeping in somewhere else, Cheslin, one of the big bomb squad guys, South Africa will be in trouble. They will be in trouble.
So,
mind you, thank God he's back, but Sia's return under most recovery timeframes was quick. It was semi-Nandolo quick. Okay, because Homie was maybe out for 6 months, he was out for four, and he's back. Nah. People, check those settings. They're topping their group, no doubt. But if stuff goes left and they lose people, you have to worry about the quarter finals going forward.
Okay, so just list it again, number one to number five.
South Africa, Ireland, And then it's a toss-up, but Romania is coming last. I'm not sure where Tonga and Scotland are falling, but Romania, I'm sorry, Romania, I love my Romanian people, but there are some big things here, and you're not there yet, so Tonga and Scotland is a toss-up, but Romania, I'm sorry, you're last.
Okay, all right. I'm sure Stone will be happy to hear that. Shut up, Stone. What up, buddy? Right, Dragon, let's hear what you got. Tell us, brother. Tell us what you think.
This one is not as easy for me to call. So I think you may just find Ireland, Scotland, South Africa, Tonga, Romania.
Ooh, do that again?
Ooh. You heard right.
Ooh, that's not the first time today that I've heard that. That ain't the first time today I've heard that.
Repeat yourself.
Yay. Yay. Say it again.
I said you may just find Ireland, Scotland, South Africa, Tonga, and Romania. So
Matt I'm not, is jumping against, up and down right now. Matt is about to phone you.
Nothing against
Matt is about to call you.
Box side, right? But this is a very strong box side. But that Scottish side has got some X factor. The Scottish side is special. And they're not a winning side. They're not World Cup winning side. Definitely not. But again, they're that side that will spring a surprise on you. They're the only team that has beaten France, I think, three out of their last four games. Something ridiculous like that, right?
They lost two in a row to France. They lost two in a row to France.
They've got a crazy stat, but they're the ones that they're the only team that has consistently beaten France.
Jouer, yeah.
Right. Then you come to, so that Scottish side, I think, is going to spring a surprise. The first game of the tournament happens to be, yes, it's going to be an emotional game. The boxer probably going to come out firing, but I think so will the Scots. They'll come out there and they'll try and run them ragged. They play such an unstructured game. When I say unstructured, sorry, that's wrong. They play with a lot of flair. And the one thing that they've got that I believe will give them the edge against the box, if they are not out-muscled and if they do not give them the opportunity like they've done to the French before, is they will not allow the game to settle. They will keep the box going up and down the field, similar to what they did to France. And once that happens, you tend to see the game open up. And then it becomes, once the box start chasing, it becomes a lot trickier, right? And I think that's the one thing that they've got going for them. That's what the Springboks, to take on a Springbok side, you cannot allow to, you can't try to take them on up front. We know that, right? We look at the first half of that rugby championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what happened to the box. It was literally the All Blacks not allowing them to try and assert dominance on them. They just literally kept that ball flowing and moving. And yes, they'll be smart, and Rassie is very smart at this kind of thing. But I just believe that the Scots may just have that one over them. The Irish, that team is solid. That team has this... looks like it may be their time. Everyone looks at them and thinks, "Oh yeah, yeah," but they always tend to lose it deeper in the tournament. But I do not think that this is the same kind of Irish side that we've seen in other World Cups. This side is good. It's damn good. They're very bloody confident, and they know what they're doing. They're well drilled.
Okay. All right. So Ireland to top it. Scotland to come second, South Africa third.
Matt is calling you right now.
Tonga and Romania. Interesting. Rightio. Damn. This is not. Shout out, HB, please hurry up. Get the site up and running, bro, because we need to get this up. I would just love to hear all the reactions. Now, look. This is a very tricky group. In my opinion, Well, not even in my opinion. It's quite clear. It is the trickiest. It's the trickiest pool there. But I have a very sneaking suspicion. Scotland are going to pull, not an upset, they're going to win. They're going to win one of these games. They're going to beat either South Africa or Ireland. And I think who they will beat, I think they'll beat Ireland. And I'll tell you why. I think South Africa, they've played against teams that play a running game, that want to play a running game. Right, they've played against teams that play with this level of unpredictability and do the whole jouer thing and throw the ball around. They've handled it quite well at times. And don't forget that 20 minutes that New Zealand played against South Africa, that was the most explosive 20 minutes I think we've seen in a very long time from any squad, any team in world rugby. And I don't think Scotland have the athletes to produce a 20 minutes like that against South Africa. And I think South Africa will constrict them. They'll strangle them. They'll choke them. And they'll win that game. Not by a long shot. Not by much. I think it'll be a bloody close game. Depending on if Mani Lubok wants to actually kick or not. Wants to actually get his goals or not. Whilst Kanan Moody, who I feel is their top number 13 at the moment, whilst he is inexperienced, I think he's got enough defensive nous to sort of handle. I think he's got enough to handle that partnership between Hugh Jones. Well, to handle Hugh Jones, really. I think he's proven to be quite an instinctively smart defender. And I think where South Africa will just have to be wary is that their back three need to be alert. That's all their back three need to be, because again, that space that's created on the outside, they love to not only on the outside, but even just the smart kicking in behind, that unpredictability in terms of kick selection from Finn Russell. Is what really gives Scotland their impetus. I mean, even against France, he exposed the French back three. But I think the South African back three at this point, they're used to being positioned for kicks and reading kicks. I think they'll be okay. I think they'll just about be able to pull it off and cover. Now, who I think Scotland will actually beat Ireland, in my opinion. I think whilst Ireland have got, they seem to have the complete game and the complete running game and all of that, Ireland without Sexton is a different proposition, you know. And I think, Sexton's not available for that game, is he?
I don't know.
Or even if he is, I think the familiarity that Scotland have at the moment with Ireland, I think that familiarity will actually stand them in good stead. They have no familiarity with South Africa. They don't play South Africa, you know, often. So they don't have a yardstick to chase, to measure up to, whereas they play Ireland every year. So they've got a yardstick. You know, they've got something to measure their performances against. And I think when you're playing against someone like Ireland and year on year and you're losing to them, you're forced to evolve. I think they've evolved enough. They've evolved their game enough to the point where I think they can actually take Ireland. I think there's enough variation in their game in terms of their play in the midfield that they'll be able to take Ireland. I think they'll be able to cause a lot of confusion. And I think they can actually spring an upset with Ireland simply based on that familiarity. I think that's what's going to stand them in good stead. So, in what is quite controversial. Now, I don't know. I don't like the Ireland-South Africa game. I don't know. Like that, that's going to be an interesting game. I think it all depends on that first round, that first game between Scotland and South Africa. If South Africa beats Scotland in that first game, I think they'll be able to beat Ireland. And it's going to go down to points difference. And I just think they'll be able to beat Ireland personally. If they beat Scotland. If they don't, beat Scotland. And if they really, really, really struggle against Scotland, I think Ireland will beat them. So in a very controversial call, which I know, and you spoke about Irish mates who are supposed to come, who are supposed to come and visit in December. I'm going to have to end up buying these guys beer to get back on their good side. I think, rather controversially, that South Africa will top the pool and Scotland will go through on points difference and Ireland will come third. Said it.
0.5.
Said it.
Yeah,
sorry?
Because you see, I'm using a phrase in Ireland, yeah? Three.
I'm telling you, man, I just, there's, you know when you've had a dream run and a dream preparation?
Yeah.
You know, where the wheels are also, you can see that there's some serious vulnerability here. Yeah, I don't think they'll, I don't, yeah. It's too tough. It's, yeah, I just don't do it.
For me, like I told you, my analysis is purely based on, I can only see the Scots beating a heavier side that relies on that physical dominance. That's what my analysis is based on.
But Scotland aren't physically dominant, though.
No, they're not.
But you still need to have some form of physical dominance. That's the thing. You still need quick ball. You still need to generate some form of quick ball. Scotland are not, they're not strong enough and powerful enough at that breakdown.
But they've proven that they can do it.
They can't bully the box.
They've done it to the
fridge. They can do it. They can prove it with teams that they play regularly because of the familiarity. They can't prove it with a team that they only play once in a blue moon.
Have they beaten the Irish since?
They haven't, but that's what I'm saying. The familiarity and the fact that they've lost to them a number of times, they get the impetus to evolve. Right now, Ireland are under no pressure to really evolve. And I think that's what will be their undoing at the moment, that they feel that they don't need to evolve. That it's
but please,
just Jerry, keep everything going. Keep kicking that can down the road.
All box supporters, this is purely my analysis based on an upset. Do I think the box can go all the way? Yes, they could. But I just think there could be a stumbling block there.
There will be, but there will be later on in the comp, because I don't think they'll win their quarterfinal. But I just think Scotland have the familiarity with playing against these teams so often that they don't know what, there are too many unknowns and unknowns for Scotland when they play against South Africa. There are far too many unknowns. 100%. They haven't played each other enough. With Ireland, what unknowns are they? What unknowns are they?
They don't think about them. But I guess that's just the thing, isn't it? That's what makes them a bit of that unknown entity on either side, to me, gives them that a little bit of an edge. But yeah, but look, I'm not saying
when was the last time? And this is the thing, right? When you play someone and you analyze your games, there's a difference between saying this is what we must do at the breakdown and feeling it. Do you know what I mean? And feeling like, I know how strong this guy is over the ball. I know how strong he is when I'm trying to clean him out at the breakdown. I know which technique will work and I know which technique won't because I've tried to clean him out because I felt it. I felt his strength. The Scots haven't felt that. And that's the problem.
We agree on that. I definitely agree. And when you look at the result between the Box and the All Blacks, it's exactly that familiarity that actually then makes you realize the game can go either way. I agree with you 100%. And that's what makes that game a possibility. But like I was saying, that was just my thoughts and that's just how I see it.
Dude, it pains me. Trust me. It pains me to put the Box on top of any group because I know people like Matt will be celebrating. But I just think... I think they're just going to get away with the unfamiliarity. And then they're playing Ireland last, right? That's the last game of that pool.
Yes, that is. What if that's the shocker? That Ireland are the ones that actually just don't make it. And even though the Box loses...
And Ireland will be panicking and be under so much pressure. They'll be so panicked and under so much pressure. I mean, honestly, their first game is Tonga, right? Is it Tonga or Romania?
Ireland's first game is. Gosh. Romania.
Ah, dude, come on. You know, sometimes you need resistance. You know?
Their first game is Romania. Then their following game is Tonga.
Ah, bro. So they're playing the two weakest teams in the pool. Tonga, who, yes, you've got great individuals and it is looking so good, but this has happened a year too late. If this had happened a year earlier, or best case scenario, 2 years earlier, if they'd gotten all these guys in and they'd been playing together for 2 years, Tonga would be a completely different prospect. But I think at the moment, because they don't have the familiarity with each other, they're not going to give Ireland that big a test. They're not going to give Ireland a big test.
One thing Tonga will do is they may just cause a lot of injuries.
They'll soften them up nicely. They'll nyama nyama them. They'll soften them up nice. But
that's the one thing that they do nicely. Very well.
You know, and then and think of the mindset now and the headspace. Ireland will go into that game with South Africa desperate for a win.
Yeah, it's look, and this is the thing, right? Isn't it what makes this whole thing a lot more exciting? The fact that we can have this discussion and there's so many different scenarios that are coming up. This is by far the best Rugby World Cup we're going to watch.
Oh, definitely.
Because anything can happen.
I just want to add on to my point. Because you're the top dogs, you've been the top dogs the whole year, the whole lead up, the last 2 years or whatever, lead up to the World Cup, have you ever been in that position of desperation? And that's the difference, right? That's the difference, where they would never have been in that position of desperation for a while. The Box were in a position of desperation after they got belted in the first 20 minutes by the All Blacks. They had that desire burning and saying, we've got to front up in our next game. And that, again, it all boils down to familiarity of opposition and in terms of familiarity of situation, of having your backs against the wall. Ireland haven't had their backs against the wall. They haven't.
They've had an easy run.
They've had a fairly, and taking nothing away from them. That's how good they are. They're the best in the world. They're number one in the world for a reason, but they haven't had that moment of desperation. They haven't had it. And I think that will ultimately be their downfall. They're too good. That's their downfall. They're just too good.
Mm-hmm. HB, sorry, man. We haven't given you your chance to...
I called already.
He spoke. This guy spoke. Let's go. Moving on. Who's in Pool C?
This is where it's going to get a tad bit interesting. Wales, Australia, Fiji, Georgia, Portugal.
Man.
So, I could tell you straight up. What? Australia, Fiji, Wales.
What's that?
Georgia and?
Portugal.
Portugal, yeah. That's
quickly call if it's here, you.
So, I said?
You said Australia.
Australia, Fiji,
Wales.
Wales. Georgia, Portugal. However, in saying that, just a quick one.
Hey, man.
I
want to name my order too.
You what? I just want to give a quick one.
Go on.
As much as I've said that, I'm not confident that. So I'm not very confident. I know Fiji are going to go through. I'm just a bit uncertain between Wales and Australia. Although, I just want to put that out there. Between Wales and Australia, one of them is under pressure. But one of them topped the group. That's all I can say.
Quick call, Gav, go.
In a rare occurrence, I'll agree with Targon. I think it's going to be Australia, Fiji, Wales. And who are the other two in the group?
Georgia and Portugal.
Ah, Georgia and Portugal in that order.
Okay, I want to call a Hail Mary here. Wales, Fiji, Australia, Georgia, Portugal. Oof. I worry about Fiji's defense because Fiji's defense hasn't been the best thing. The attack is fine, you know, 7 out of 10. But their defense, you know, 5 or 6 out of 10. And 5 or 6 out of 10 in a World Cup will get you exposed. So unless Australia have done some serious rebuilding. Nick White, what's up? Staff is the one who left for Australia.
I don't think a Wales team that lost to an England team that at some point had 12 players on the field has any business topping any pool. I'm sorry to say it. They have no business topping any pool. You know, I think they're going through a rebuilding phase. They've shown loyalty to some guys who I think, you know, at this point, you're done. You know what I mean? I just don't think Wales will top the pool. I think they will come third. I think they will not only lose to Fiji and Australia. Actually, no. They might beat one. They might beat Australia. I think they'll lose to Fiji. I also think they'll lose to Georgia. Still come third through points difference, but I think they'll lose to Georgia because they'll batter Portugal and they'll just get ahead of Georgia on points difference.
What are we betting that Australia has done in the last month to change? Because right now they don't have Quaid. They left Quaid. They left Michael Hooper. What have they done in the last month that is giving you such...
They're not playing Gatlin ball.
That's the first thing. They're right. Not playing. Yeah.
They're good. Okay. I think Gav, you summed it up, right? I mean, when you look at that Welsh squad, look, a lot of the guys there should have made the call, same call that Alan Wynne-Jones made just before the World Cup. It's nice to play in as many World Cups as possible, but a lot of the guys are over the hill. I do not believe that they've got some young talent coming. From a forwards perspective, yeah, they'll be okay. They can probably hold their own. I worry very much about their backline and in particular the midfield. They have not found an answer in the midfield, at least not a good enough answer for me to think that they can even take on an Australia that is severely weakened. But in their being weakened, I think, you know, they're showing signs of improvement, and we don't want to hear it because then Eddie Jones, you know, is justified. But let's be honest about it. Pattaya is looking decent. They've got guys there that are starting to show up and they're starting to get a bit more confident. And I think they have an edge over Wales. Wales are struggling badly. They're not going to win playing that kind of rugby. And it's so one-dimensional. It lacks creativity. It's a sad watch. That's all I can say.
Does anyone feel like Australia are going to suffer for leaving Quaid?
Nah. They will. They will.
I think they will suffer.
I think they will, but not in the pool stages. They'll suffer in the quarterfinal. Carter Gordon, fantastic player, but he's young and it's great, but the exuberance of youth can only take you so far. It's only very special talents can handle that sort of pressure at such a young age, you know, at that position, you know. I also think, look, I think Australia have shown enough in terms of their attack to cause some problems, particularly for Wales. I think their back three is potent, bro. Nawanga Nitawazi can play. That dude can play. And then you've got Corey Mbeti, who also is just a bruiser. You know, Kellaway at fullback is no slouch. With Kellaway at 15, that's no slouch. Kellaway
has grown up, eh?
Yeah, he's no slouch. I think they've got a good back three. And the reason why I'm particularly mentioning the back three is because we know what Warren Ball is. Bash, bash, box kick. Bash, bash, kick. Bash, bash, kick. And I think for a team that's playing without creativity, I mean, Australia, as much as they're not defensively, they sometimes can be a little bit suspect. I just think one-off runners are too easy to pick off. And I also think that Australia are playing with some with more creativity than Wales, and their small numbers make bigger carries. I mean, you put Angus Bell. Angus Bell is a destructive ball carrier. Rob Valentini, destructive ball carrier. Tom Hooper, as young as he is, boy can carry, you know. What's the lock's name? Is it Croft? I forgot his name. The guy who ran it in from like 80 meters on an intercept. That's a ball carrier. Tupou, when he's fit, that's a ball carrier. So I think Australia's got enough ball carriers and enough creativity in the way that they play that they will vex Wales. They get the soft shoulder, they'll make that 1, 2, 3 yards, and they'll get Wales on the back foot. Wales, I don't see the big ball carriers, man. I don't see it. I don't see any ball carriers where you look at it and you're like, hey.
Yes. But what about the stats, the Australian stats against New Zealand, their stats even against South Africa and recently against France? They literally dominate for quite some periods in the game. Their only problem right now is executing in the final quarter. That is where they lack.
Yeah.
So they're actually a very solid side. Well, not solid in that sense, but solid enough to beat Wales, that's for sure.
To beat Wales. I think they do. Wales' scrum was struggling, huh? Was struggling for a bit. So yeah, I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing it from the Welsh. And it's sad, it's unfortunate that there's such a golden generation that's just moved on. But they've moved on. You've got to evolve. I don't think Wales have evolved. Wales bringing Gatland back is the complete antithesis of evolution.
They should have given Pivac a bit more time, allowed him. You know, you can no longer be just as reactive in rugby, or at least
with how are your most game breakers, at one of your top clubs, which is Scarlets? How are your game breakers your locks?
Yeah.
How? How are they the guys who are busting all the yards, all the lines, the creative play, the offloads? Come on, guys. How are they? How? You know, what does that say about their backline? You know? And sure enough, they've got they've got massive midfielders. You know, they've got that kid at 12 who's like 6'4 or whatever, or 6'5. But again, it's just so predictable. It is just so predictable. And the game of rugby has moved on, right? Even South Africa, with their brutality, right? There's still some form of mixing it up and some form of creativity. Wales, there just isn't. It's just one-off runner after one-off runner after one-off runner. And I just don't think it's enough to grind out an Australia that's been put through the fire again, you know, and that's getting better. I mean, Angus Bell is way more dynamic than the Welsh props. I didn't even know the Welsh props' names. Bro.
True. Very true.
So I see Wales coming third, and as sad as it is, it's something that must happen because they need to go through this to evolve. Simple as.
Hope the Phoenix rises again.
Oh my gosh. Please, can we edit that much? Anyway, moving on to the final pool. Pool nice. D. Yes.
You know, this is going to be very interesting. England, Japan, Argentina, Samoa, and Chile.
I feel sorry for Chile.
You know the answer. You know my answer.
What?
You know what I'm going to say. You know, I think you can predict what my outcome is going to be.
What is it? Tell us.
Or at least who's not going to make the knockouts.
Go on.
Don't be like that.
So Argentina to top the group.
Hey.
Japan to come second.
Hey.
England coming third. Hey. Who were the other two again?
The other two are Samoa and Chile.
Samoa.
So Samoa, yeah, are going to come forth, unfortunately. They're looking better. Again, I think it comes back to what Gavin said earlier. They just haven't had enough time together. You can only do so much in the short time that they've been together, right? And then Chile will be bottom of that group. Japan is not looking solid. Japan is not looking solid. They have not looked convincing. But we know. We've seen it before. We've seen it the last two World Cups. They've been a surprise package, even after not looking convincing going into the World Cups. So that scalp, they beat England.
Yeah.
They beat England recently.
They did.
So I'm more confident about it, actually, now that I say it. That's how it's going to pan out.
Okay. All right. Well, I think Argentina, as much as it pains me to say it, Argentina will top the pool. And I think England will just scrape through in second. I think Samoa will come third. And Japan fourth and Chile last. Reason being, I think Argentina, I think it's clear why they'll top the pool. I think they will get it done. There are too many problems in this England camp at the moment for them to top the pool. And I also think when your coach is coaching without consequence, because he's guaranteed. He's guaranteed, and fair play to him, you know, and good on him. He's guaranteed employment after this World Cup, because the RFU don't have the money to pay him out of his contract. So he's guaranteed employment post-World Cup. So when there isn't that, and got all these problems with tackle height and whatever, I just don't think, I think Argentina's a bridge too far for them. I think against Samoa, they'll be pushed, but they'll scrape through. They'll be pushed really, really close, but they'll scrape through. I think Samoa will just about lose to England. I think against Argentina, they might blow out of the water. You know, I think their best performance, they've got two big performances in them in this pool. First one will be against England, where they will push England to within an inch. And then the second big performance will be against Japan. You know.
Right. So.
But having said that, if you look at the Samoa squad, if there's any team in this World Cup that could pull an upset, I think it's Samoa. My goodness, their squad is insane. There are some dudes in that squad. I mean, you've got Jordan Taufua. You've got
Lima
Sopoanga. You've got Sopoanga. Hold on a minute. Whoa. Actually, I take it back. Samoa to come second. England to come third.
Guys, in Japan.
Japan will come fourth.
I really think Japan are going to make the knockouts, but that's me. Okay, and it's also Jamie J's last outing with the boys.
I call it at Argentina is coming first in that group. Then it's a fight between England and Japan. I wouldn't count Japan out. Samoa fourth. And Chile, it's their first time at the World Cup. Congratulations, Chile. Welcome to the big leagues. It's going to get painful real quick. Do what you can, but you're coming fifth. Coming fifth this time. This is what it
is. Of course. No, they'll come fifth. They'll come fifth. And I think, but they've done well to get to where they are. Guys, let's not forget. It was 5 years ago. 5 years ago. They were playing at that Hong Kong Nations tournament. That tournament in Hong Kong 5 years ago, where it was Hong Kong, Papua New Guinea, Chile, Russia. You know, 5 years ago, they've come from that far. So for them to get to the World Cup, that's absolutely amazing, and more power to them. And I hope they get more development going, because it's good. It's good to see these guys do well. But hey, these guys are going for the experience.
HB, maybe one of these guys is a World Cup contract.
Say again, Trent.
You sat on the fence. You didn't give us a clear second and third year.
Okay. Yeah, what do you expect? It's HB.
Let me break it down as to what the challenge is here.
Okay, no, let me actually make it simple for you.
Yes.
Who would you like to see come second or third? Who would you like? Not.
Be careful here. Don't start to cause a controversy. Why are you being like that? Chill, Xi. Don't mess what I've got up, Xi. I've got my thing.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay. Don't try and mess up my good thing here. Good thing going here. I would want Japan to take it. England have been slacking, and England tend to take the absolute, the word I want to use here is laugh out of the things that they are given and the opportunities that they gain. And in the past, England, and I've said this in many a podcast, you guys would back me up and say, yeah, he said that England always get their way. If it's a 50-50 on some decision, it's leaning towards England. They're going to get it. Last World Cup against SA, when they've been given their medals, I think they were very rude. They didn't show any sportsmanship with how they lost. They were not great losers. This run-up to this World Cup, they have not been performing like a squad that is expecting to win their second World Cup or trying to win their second World Cup. You know? And the talent pool, even there, I wouldn't say the talent pool is limited. I would say the talent pool is undisciplined. It is not showing the hunger required to do the job. And Japan, as we know, as a nation, as a people, are very determined to come out and do the 110%. So Argentina, Japan, England, and then, of course, Samoa and Chile. That's how I call it.
That's okay. You guys don't be eating humble pie, but it's okay.
We agreed with only on one pool. Hey. Wow.
We need to write down so people can change their minds when they lose. When they are particularly wrong.
We'll see. I hope.
We lost you, Gavin.
We'll already be at the semifinals. So ahead of time, I just want to say I told you so. Because by the time you release this podcast, it'll be the semifinals, Mr. Tech Guy. So I just want to say I told you so. I told you so. That's it, because I know I'm right.
You're going to be chowing that humble pie.
And even if I am, listen, even if I am, every show needs a villain. I will gladly be the villain. I will gladly be the controversial villain. It's okay.
This episode, I probably will be the villain. I'll probably get attacked because of what I said.
You know what?
The results will not please a lot of people.
Oh, what? The box one? The box one?
Yeah.
You know what? Like I said, I would have agreed with you. It's just that familiarity, man, that lack of familiarity with Scotland is what's going to see them through, and Ireland not used to being in a situation that's desperate. I think it's also going to see them through.
I think lucky though, Gav.
Man, dude.
I called the Scott Barrett red card, so I think I'm like that octopus for you. That German octopus. So you better be careful.
Hey, what do you mean you better be careful? You're forgetting where my loyalties lie. Look, anything that just doesn't see Ireland get through to the quarters, I'll be happy with.
To be honest, I'd rather see Ireland win than the English and the French.
I don't know about the French, though. I think the French, they've done well, you know. I think they deserve.
They have.
They've done really well.
And I just What and if we look at the All Blacks in the past, really, it still haunts me to this day.
But dude, fair and fine. But if we look at process and we look at systems, man, they've got a group of guys who are used to winning finals, world championship finals.
I agree. But I'm just a sore loser.
Yeah, well.
And that's what I'm taking into this. And I'm, that's... If you want to know that, this is not based on any rugby analysis or anything. This is just me being sore.
It's just purely bitterness.
Exactly. That's what it boils down to.
So do you guys want to do a quick prediction of who's winning what game over the weekend? Because we've got, I believe it's 8 games.
Oh, it's time for the tipping competition. Yes. Right, first game, Friday night.
What are France versus New Zealand. What's your call, Gavin?
I make my call last. Don't, what? Hey, listen, are you the host? Don't come here.
Why?
Chill out, Jesus.
Be confident.
Do I go up to you with your banged up Lenovo and tell you what to do with your tech stuff?
Yay. Leave the Lenovo out of this. It's coding your waist right now.
Busy give working
us,
with you.
Give us your prediction.
France.
I think it'll be New Zealand by 8. Actually, no, not by 8. I think New Zealand by 4.
I hate to say it. France by 3.
Right. Following game Saturday morning, 12.
Hey, Waga, where's your
prediction? Where's your result, bro?
I said France. Why? By what? France by 5.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys are going to owe me your beer.
France by 5, New Zealand by 10. You said by 10.
Huh? Gavin. France by 5, New Zealand by 10. They're playing each other.
Oh, I'm talking about Gavin's prediction scoreline.
No, he said 4.
And yours was?
3 to France. I hate to say it, but yeah.
Saturday, 12th, midday. Italy, Namibia. I call Italy.
I say Italy by 30.
Italy okay. By 15.
I don't know, 30s. Wait, how much did they beat Japan by?
I don't know.
They put 40 on Japan. Did you not know that?
Like 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nah, I'll still go by 15.
Yeah, they won 42-21.
Ah, Namibia, Japan. Okay, so yeah, no.
42-21, yeah. I think Italy by 20. Yeah, by 30. I'll stick to 30.
Yeah, I would say same thing.
All right. Ireland versus Romania.
Ireland by 50.
Ireland by 20.
Damn. Ireland by 20. Who said 50?
Me.
Why so Ireland?
Actually, no. Ireland by 28.
My fantasy picks are going to have a lot of Irish players. They've picked, this fantasy is brilliant because you can change your team every week. You're not restricted.
What? Have you set up a, is this on Superbrew?
Yes, the league is coming up after this. It will be there.
Oh, wait, after the semi-finals. So we're playing Super Brew for the final.
No, but there's the World Rugby Fantasy, isn't there?
No,
there's
the World Rugby Fantasy, and
there's also our fantasy.
No. Okay.
Dragon, set up a Super Brew here. I don't trust Ace, you need to do it. What?
You want to trust me to do it?
Set up a Super Brew.
All right, following game, Australia versus Georgia.
Oof.
Australia by 15.
I say Australia by 11.
Australia by 9.
Following game, England, Argentina. Hey!
Argentina by 12.
Argentina by 5.
Argentina by 10. Following game, Japan versus Chile. Chile.
Japan by 25.
Japan by 18. Chile will be ahead at halftime. But Japan by 18.
Japan by 20. South Africa versus Scotland. Woo. South Africa by 6.
Scotland by 2.
South Africa by 11.
Scotland by 2.
Two. You heard me. By 2.
Last game of the first weekend of... What?
Clairvoyant, bro.
Last game of the first weekend of World Cup rugby.
Can you even spell clairvoyant?
Not really.
Yeah, thank you.
But, you know, that's besides the point. I know the word. That's what matters.
Very true.
Last game is Wales versus Fiji.
Fiji by 10.
It's going to be the end of... It's going to bring the weekend to a wonderful end. Fiji by 12.
Oh, Ralph. Fiji by... No, Wales by 5.
Get ball.
There's always one.
That playing that... okay. What else?
We are Wales by 5.
There's always one.
I'm excited, gentlemen. Excellent.
So I'm just gonna, you know, I may just rewatch like the quarterfinal, the knockouts of the last three World Cups, just to get myself to, like, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it for today. We've got all the predictions. We've got all the talk, all the argument. The next time that we catch up with you guys, it'll be the semifinals.
Really, guys?
It's not fun.
You really don't have faith in this guy, hey?
It's not fun.
Who? I'm the man with no name. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. Like I said, it's so good to be back. Anyway, that's all, guys. Yeah, can't wait. Next time we talk, it will be kickoff of the World Cup and 2 months of chaos. Thank you, everybody. Stay safe, stay happy, and always bet on black. Drago, anything to say?
I can't wait.
All right. So underwhelming. You even make sounding excited boring. HB.
It's about to be lit because this is what we live for. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we live for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll catch up with you guys next week. Thank you for joining us. That's it for the Clubhouse. Signing out.
Peace.
Peace.